If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
Euler and Motes are on the air. This is the Steelers Blitz on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
What's going on, Steelers Nation? How are we doing? It's Arthur Motes, it's Wesley Euler, and this is the Steelers Blitz, simulcasting on Fox Sports Pittsburgh. And might I tell you, we have a fun show planned for you today. We're going to talk about a new member to the band. You know you got to have a new member, you know? So we're going to talk about that, a new addition, but he might have a little bit of history with our, new director as well. So shout out to him. Shout out. Okay. We might even have to visit a little number conversation because certain numbers were passed out. But whenever a jersey is given out, you know, there is what we call cause and effect. Okay. So we're going to definitely tap into some of that as well. But either way, you know, we like to have a blast with it. And more importantly, we always like our shows to be interactive, regardless of if we are live or if we are pre-recorded. So with that being the case, the best way to hit us up is on the twitter.com or what they are calling X. And that is at TheBody52.
The Body.
And at Wesley Euler.
The Good Hair.
Man, my dog out here singing this word. I know you feeling good. What is the word, baby?
Listen, I'm feeling great. I mean, we got a lot of moving and shaking. National championship game, two back-to-back Sunday for the ladies, last night for the men. The Penguins are in a playoff hunt here, which I didn't think was possible a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they're currently in. As long as they win, they're in.
And as you know, I like to point out here on the program, the sunshine is at least more out than it has been last week, certainly. So yeah. I am in a good mood, partner. I hope you're doing well
I like it. And I would just say, don't stop short of your Pittsburgh shout-outs because you also have the Bucks, who are also...
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. Also, man, doing their thing right now in terms of the MLB, starting the season off number one, kicking a lot of booty of lately, man. So definitely like what we're seeing from them.
There's only three teams in baseball right now that have 9 wins, okay? The Yankees.
Yep.
The Dodgers.
Oh, I know this last one.
The Pirates. So all the big market teams, obviously, Arthur Motes, New York, LA, Pittsburgh, running this thing.
Absolutely. Remember, it's all relative, baby. It is all relative. So yeah, baby. But I like it though, man. Like I said, man, we in a good spot Pittsburgh-wise, man. And speaking of the weekend, bro, we did have a ton of stuff that took place, whether you're, you know, into your wrestling and stuff like that. You had WrestleMania that took place.
Yeah, I had WrestleMania this weekend too.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. If you're a hooper, you know, you had your women's hoops taking place, obviously back-to-back most watched games. And then if you were still, you know, fiending for some hoops, you had UConn and Purdue at some point last night. All right, shout out to that game too. It is funny, though, how we have transitioned this thing, man. Nobody was even watching that dude's game like that. They put it at 9 o'clock. You talk about the girls' game. Oh, no. You're cool. You're an outlier. We're happy for you. We're talking about the 18.7 million that was watching girls' games.
Yeah, wow.
It's
almost like playing national championships at 9:30 on a Monday night is a bad idea. Playing them on Sunday afternoon is a great idea.
No, don't try to minimize it to just the day of the week.
Well, no, it's also because of the following. Yes, it's the following that this man. You and I think talked about this. It is crazy. You mentioned like WrestleMania, and we know what WWE is, cultivate storylines, right?
Yep.
But the other leagues, they need that to happen organically. You need rivalries, you need history, you need talent, you need all these things.
Continuity. And
man, the women's game had a lot of different things come together this year, from the Caitlin Clark storyline to Dawn Staley in South Carolina being undefeated to LSU trying to go back to back, and just kind of the lightning rods that Angel Reese and Kim Mulkey are as well, too. UConn and what they've been as a program historically. Just some amazing storylines. And then I think, too, when you, again, play a national championship on a Sunday afternoon, you see that's the good stuff right there, baby.
Listen, I do not want to hear you going back and forth with this if you play it on a Sunday afternoon, because women's basketball is always Sundays in the afternoons and nobody watches them games.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
nobody.
More of a shot.
So that's what,
honestly,
yeah,
that's more of a
bro.
Shot at college football. Like, college football, you are the Saturday sport. Why do you play your national championship game at 9 o'clock on a Monday night? Like, it makes no sense to me.
But think about it, even with football. Football, they do it on Monday night, and it's still one of the most watched games, baby. The product matters. That's what I will say.
Oh, it absolutely. But it would be like playing the Super Bowl on a Friday night. Like, I don't get why college football does that.
It's still going to be a draw. That's what I'm saying,
man. Oh, no doubt. They could have played the women's game at 9 o'clock last night, and it would have still been a huge
storyline. Because the storyline. And like I said, it's not a negative thing per se, because, man, for the dudes, man, they get money. They're able to get out this league and hop right into it. And shout out to them. UConn obviously going back to back national championships. But it is crazy to think that you can have a two-time back-to-back national champ or a back-to-back national champ. And if we said, was name three of their players, you know, you might could, but I guarantee the majority of our listeners wouldn't have a clue. Then you go say, hey, name three basketball players from, you know, UConn, or three from South Carolina. Just, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, that's such and such over there. Oh, that's this girl. That's that girl. It's like, it's just crazy how it has shifted a little bit the ladies having to stay in school versus the guys leaving, man. But, you know, it was like a good weekend, man.
That's a good point by you. It is, too. And, like, women's basketball many times, particularly collegiate women's basketball, like, many times in the last year has been the story. You know, it started with LSU and Iowa last year, and over this last year, like, many times you have turned on the television and it has been the story in sports.
Yeah.
And that is massive. That's when you know you've made it to the mainstream. When I turn on First Take, Motsi, and they're debating was this the right call from the women's Final Four game? Was this a screen? Was this a moving screen? Right call, wrong? That's when that's when you know you've made it.
Yeah. Like you said, man, when the women's games, not just the national championship that was on Sunday versus a Monday, you look at the Final Fours, you look at the Elite Eight, it is like,
oh, no doubt.
Bro, yeah.
I want to be clear. Like, when I was taking that, I didn't try. That was not, that was not me trying to diminish the women's number on Sunday. That was me. Why do we do our national championship games for football and basketball for the men on Monday nights at 9 o'clock? It just never made sense to me.
Yeah. But I loved it, man. I was like, yo, we finally get numbers that show that, this method can work if y'all support it. And they got a dope product over there, man. So shout out to them, man. But this is a football show. So we're going to get back to the gridiron.
Football?
To the gridiron. No, see, we're American. I know you want to be everything but being here in America, man. We are not in Germany. We are not in England. We are in America. Football, all right? Not that soccer stuff. Not that kick the ball. No. Football, all right. We want to do that. Go across the pond. Get your fish and chips over there.
Well,
right?
They are coming. They are coming to Acrisure Stadium this summer. Yeah. Did you see that?
Well, look. I hope they like barbecue. I want them to eat barbecue. That's what
I hope they
eat.
Like fries on their sandwich.
Yeah, that's what I want them to eat. Okay,
chips on the sandwich.
Yeah, we don't. Our fish and chips aren't French fries. Okay, we actually got potato chips. That's what I want them to feed. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, shoot, America.
America. But we did have a addition to the roster, man, that took place over the weekend. And he's a new guy to us, but a little bit familiar in terms of what we'll talk about him. But Michael Pruitt is the tight end that we recently signed over the weekend, played with the Atlanta Falcons with Arthur Smith the past two seasons, 2022 and 2023. He was down in Atlanta, and then he spent his first seven seasons with the Tennessee Titans, Houston, Minnesota. He was kind of in that little bit of a bubble, switching a couple of teams, stuff like that, man. But in terms of, you know, Michael has played in, like I said, a ton of games even last year. Played in 17 games, started eight of them. Past five, six, yeah, going back to 18, he's been playing, double-digit amount of games with starts in that vein, man. But in terms of Michael, man, big body, physical, blocking type tight end, man. But with the addition, man, I did just kind of want to get your initial thoughts on the Michael Pruitt signing.
Yeah, so I guess maybe a little surprised because when you just think about the tight end position, that 30,000-foot view thing that we always reference, right? It's a group that we haven't spent much time discussing because, okay, you got your kind of guy in Pat Freiermuth, and what we all know is obviously going to be a huge year for him. And then you've got the ascending talents in terms of Darnell Washington and Connor Hayward, who are both, I mean, all three of those guys on rookie deals, right? Different pedigree in terms of where they were drafted and expectations, but all three of those guys draft picks, all three of those guys still on their rookie deals. And I think all three of those guys have given you reason for optimism that they belong in this league, that they have a role to play on this team, right? And so I was just a little maybe surprised that the Steelers were bringing in another tight end. I mean, everything that you laid out about Pruitt is accurate. I mean, he just turned 32, so he's not, even in football years, like he's not, he's still got some tread left on those tires, just turned 32 a couple weeks ago. Has a huge body of experience in the NFL. Like you said, has played over 100 games in the league, has, I think, I had it right here. Where is it? A dozen touchdown catches in his NFL career, has 12 of them. So he's familiar with Arthur Smith from that standpoint. Like, I'm not questioning it or anything. I think he could certainly have a role, certainly have an impact. My just kind of first reaction was that, I'm surprised to see them bring in a tight end when you consider that they have three draft picks still on their rookie deals in that room.
No, I definitely can see where you're coming from with that, man. I wasn't per se surprised that they were bringing a tight end in. I just think for me, I just didn't know what level that tight end was, because we've talked about the different tight ends and the different models that we've seen, right? Whether it's the Buffalo Bills, where you have a first rounder and then another Pro Bowl or highly paid tight end in
Sure,
Dalton
sure.
Kincaid and Dawson Knox. We've talked about how you have the Chiefs, where they have the one standalone tight end and they kind of just fill in the pieces around them with Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
But we know that that's been the thing. The Detroit Lions, Denver Broncos, Seattle Seahawks, all these different teams have some type of guy, and then they have a number two. And I just didn't know, how we would be viewing Pat Freiermuth right now, along with his production and the state of contracts with him. Because he is also coming up on that time where you're having the conversation of, do you try to extend or do you allow it to play out? For Muth, it probably benefits him to let it play out so he can get his value a little bit higher. For the team, though, it's back and forth. If you want to continue to have me a long-term plan, well, then you probably want to negotiate on the front end and get that deal done with that number super cheap. But if you're having questions about if you really want to have that long-term commitment, well, maybe you're bringing in somebody that was going to be able to push him, or somebody,
Sure.
that could either unseat him potentially. So that was why, for me, I just wasn't sure where we would go with this. But in terms of Michael Pruitt, when you're just talking about his skill set, like you said, he does have a handful of touchdowns. He does bring some of that red zone, do the drag routes, the beat you to the flat, the jump ball down the middle of the field. Like, he'll give you some of that. Now, he's not this explosive athlete, but I always say, man, he's kind of puts me in the mind of like a, I don't even know how to describe him, bro. Because it's like he doesn't move like a Matt Spaith, right? He moves closer to me, he moves more like a oversized Eric Ebron. Like, he's not running routes, but when you watch him run, he is a smooth runner, and that's kind of what I mean by that. Nowhere near in terms of the fluidity and getting in and out of breaks that Ebron is, but watch how he runs. He is a smooth runner, but he is a
Interesting.
bigger man. But
Interesting.
then you think of Spaith, right? And you think of how Matt Spaith, his whole job here while Heath was here, or even when it was Jesse James, it was to block, put hands on you, and win in the run game. Be the extra, protection for when we're trying to take deep shots. That is his game in terms of Michael Pruitt. So that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not gonna be as, long and lanky like Spaith. He is built more like a plus size Eric Ebron. But his game style is more in line with Matt Spave, though.
That so am I thinking too much into as you explain that to me?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of feels like some of the things that we talked that we discussed about with Mount Washington last year, and with maybe some more potential to not only be that guy in the run game, but to add some playmaking ability as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as you lay that out, is this kind of a, am I wrong to think maybe part of this is, hey, Darnell Washington, we like what you did last year. You showed some flashes down in stretch in, you know, or down the stretch, I should say. But nothing is guaranteed. We don't crown people off of 1 year. You're a fourth round draft pick, not a first round draft pick. You know, we selected you on day three. Yeah, it's an investment. Yeah, it's a fourth round pick, but we're certainly not married to you. We want you to go out and prove it. And we're bringing a little competition and a guy that maybe has a similar game type and has done it in this league for a long time. Like, is there, and maybe for a guy like Connor Hayward too, in the sense of, hey, we like what we've gotten from you for 2 years. You're a draft pick as well, but nothing is guaranteed. You got to compete. You got to earn it every single day. Is some of this, like, you know what I'm saying? Not a message to those two, but just competition. And let's see if you can show us improvement. Let's see if you can go out and continue to prove it.
It seems like you've been hanging around football players a little bit long now.
Seems
man.
Like I've been hanging around Arthur Motes for 6 or 7 years here.
Man, because I was hoping that eventually in this first segment that light bulb
we'd get
was
to that
gonna
point.
Click. And it finally clicked. I was like, okay, we're going to get to it eventually. And
took
I 15, could just see
took
the,
15 minutes, all right.
And look, I saw those gears turning. I said, I think it's about to click. I think he is about to get what I am implying when I keep referencing Matt Spaeth. When I keep referencing this is the blocker, when I keep referencing that he can make some catches in the red zone, he has some touchdowns. Yeah. So what we're going to do is take a break because we're not going to shortchange this convo.
Oh, yeah.
Touch that
now
Dallas,
we're talking.
Arthur Motes and Wesley Hula, baby. Let's go. Arthur Motes, Wesley Euler, Steelers Nation Radio, simulcast to Fox Sports Pittsburgh, and continuing our conversation about Michael Pruitt, the newest addition to the Pittsburgh Steelers family. You know, anytime we get to add guys to the squad, we always like that. And especially, you know, from my perspective, NFL veterans. I'm all for that, whether we're talking middle class or if we're talking the vet. I like the vet. The vet that is not the super high pay guy, but that guy that is in between years 5 and 9 that, you know, maybe you're making above minimum, maybe you're on that vet minimum, but you keep them around. I love those type of guys, man. And I just felt like Michael Pruitt is that. And when we're continuing our conversation just about the way that we are improving our roster and how we're making it a little bit different from last year, veterans, right? Leadership, guys that have experience, guys that have had success in their specific roles, continuing to bring more of them here. I am still just loving that because that is something that I do feel like these past two seasons we struggled with. We were very young and at times immature. And I just think that now, man, we're bringing in the right type of players and the right mix of old with young to just blend this a little bit better, man. Take some of that pressure off of the youth, man. So, like I said, definitely liking that. But before we went to break, we were talking about Michael Pruitt and all these similarities in his game to, you know, Mr. Darnell Washington, Mount Washington. And you're very accurate. When I saw this signing, that was the first thing that popped off in my mind. said, okay. When everybody said, who's Michael Pruitt? Why would we just sign this guy? He doesn't even catch touchdowns, bro. He doesn't have 500 receiving yards in the season. He sucks. And you're like, tell me you casually get. Thank you. I like it. Okay. But Michael Pruitt is direct competition for Darnell Washington. In terms of the Connor Hayward role, I don't feel like it's to the same extent, but Connor's still involved in it just by proximity. But in terms of Michael Pruitt, him and Darnell Washington are the exact same in terms of what their role is. You want Darnell Washington to, at worst, develop into what Michael Pruitt has done.
Right,
When you
right.
talk about having a 7, 8 year career of being a true blocking tight end, not a receiving threat. When we talk about his receiving numbers, the most catches he's ever had in a season is 16. That was off of his most targets he ever had in a season, which was 21. And that was in 2022. So he was coming off of a heater.
21.
Okay. He had 18 targets the year before, 21 targets the year after that. But that's it. Okay. He's not a receiving threat to that extent. Now, could you use him in the red zone? Sure. And that's where you see the touchdowns that do pop up. But traditionally, he is not, or, when you cut on his tape, that is not what he does. When you cut on his tape, what you see is him moving grown men. You watch him in the run game. He is able to block a 4-3 defensive end. Who or what is a 4-3 defensive end? Think Myles Garrett,
Myles
okay?
Garrett.
Think Trey Hendrickson. Think Sam Hubbard. Those are the DNs from the Cincinnati Bengals, okay? Those are what we call 4-3 defensive ends. But Michael Pruitt is also able to block the 3-4 outside linebacker. So think Jadeveon Clowney with the Baltimore Ravens, Cal Van Noy. Obviously, we know TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith,
Bud Dupree.
Michael, yeah, Bud Dupree. Michael Pruitt has made a career of blocking those type of guys, whether we're talking the run game or if we're talking the pass game. And that's the part where, like, you hit on the head, man. We want to see Darnell be able to do more of that and be more productive. So, yeah, I do agree, long answer short, that this is competition. So, with that being the case, how does this sit with you now that you know that this is competition? Because we talked about the competition for Kenny and some people were back and forth, and then now we saw how that ended. Anything from that situation carrying over to this, or does that alter your mind in any way, shape, and form?
Man, I don't think so. I've been molded by you and ex and hanging around all these ex football players now for the last decade or so. I mean, this is the way I think that smart teams do business, that the better teams in the league operate. You used to joke with me, like, I want competition at every position. When you're playing days with Pittsburgh, like, I want competition at every position. Steelers want competition at every position, except for quarterback, because Ben's the guy. You know what I mean? But we even saw that change post Ben over the last couple years. And, there's a lot of varying opinions on how much is it really Russ's job? How much is Justin Fields really going to have a chance to compete? All those things that we'll get the answers to starting at the end of July when we get to Latrobe, maybe a little bit, maybe at OTAs and mini camp before that. But you always tell me this. You want competition at every position. It doesn't matter if you've got a first round pick there. It doesn't matter if you've got somebody who's had a nice start to their career there. It doesn't matter a lot of times if it is somebody who is on year 6, 7, 8, whatever it may be, and has been a good player for you. You want competition. It's the National Football League. Nobody should feel comfortable. Nobody should feel secure. And as you and I say all the time, the NFL stands for not for long. I mean, we have seen plenty of guys that have a great year, that have a great 2 or 3 years. And then whether it's an injury, whether it's whatever, the production is just not the same. It's not as consistent. You need competition. And more importantly, too, I think this is important in all this. You kind of mentioned that veteran in the room thing, and how I think as sports fans, this is like the non-athlete side here. This is the fan side. We can get enamored with the young thing, right? Oh, because, well, they're younger, so they got to be in better shape and less injury history.
Younger's
and less
always
worn
better.
Younger's always better. There's the unknown there, too. And could they, oh, they're so young and they could get even better a couple years from now, right? We could get obsessed with that thing. But you're right. It's important to have that blend, particularly in a grown man's game like football.
Yeah.
The offense has been very young the last couple years. I mean, think about how many guys that are still at one point, Motsi, what, like 2 years ago, other than Mitch Trubisky, like
nobody else,
everybody else was still on their, everybody else was still on their rookie deals. Like, I mean,
I was like, think about it. Chooks and Deontay Johnson were the vets.
Well, the only one, Chooks and Deontay were the vets, and they're 26 years old.
Like, and they're year five.
They just got off their rookie deals. They just signed that first extension. So, yeah, you need some veterans in the room, period, but particularly on the offensive side of the football where you haven't had that in spades over the last two seasons. Yeah. And I think as well, too, bringing in somebody when you're charting a new course for your offense that we know the Steelers are going to do under Arthur Smith, it's always good to have people in the room that already speak his language, and mm-hmm. Pruitt clearly speaks his language as a guy who spent a lot of time with him. What, six seasons with him, I think?
Yeah. No, that is funny, though. Absolutely, though. We are on the same page with that, man. But like I said, man, that is the interesting part, man, and that's the part for me, as specifically with Darnell Washington, where I'm just like, all right, man. I'm not saying, you know, it's not a writing on the wall scenario. It's definitely not that. But what I will say is, it is the first warning shot. It is the, hey, you might want to start up in that production, because the way that this league works, you don't get to just, you know, sit and be on scholarship. We don't have this like red shirt program, so to speak. You know, it's like, nah, bro, you got to produce it. And you got to do it in a hurry. And if not, we're going to move on, man.
And the thing
that's... Yeah, go ahead.
No, sorry to interrupt you there.
And I was saying, and that's kind of like where we are, you know, after 1 year. I mean, but we even saw that with Kenny Pickett. It's like, this isn't this league where you just get the luxury of time always.
Absolutely. And I think particularly, like, look, the other thing too for this is you know, you bring in a Mecole Pruitt, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, you're Washington, you're Hayward, you kind of sit up in your chair a little bit more. If you go out there, and let's talk Darnell Washington specifically, right?
Yeah.
If you go out there and you prove, I can block 4-3 defensive ends like this guy, I can block edge rushers like this guy, I've got more athletic upside, I can give you something in terms of playmaking and receptions as well, too. I can be an option in the red zone, right? Yeah. Whatever the case may be. If you now go out and prove it, Darnell Washington, then you feel even better as well, too, right? So it can work both ways. It could be like, hey, no one's safe. Nothing is given. You got to earn it every day. Here comes a veteran who's familiar with the new offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. and you got to go compete. But if you're Darnell Washington and you come out on the other side of that, hey, maybe you do have the upside. Maybe you do have the potential. Maybe you're going to be a guy who's going to play a decade in the National Football League, because we brought in some competition, you rose to the challenge, you were ready to go, and you performed. So, like, it can be putting somebody on notice, too, but it can also be like, hey, if you go out here and show us that you are what we think you are, now it's go time, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure to an extent that was the same mindset with the Kenny Pickett position. But as we will say then, and as we'll continue to say now, it can go one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
Darnell could take it that way, and great. If he does and he's motivated by it, well, we should get the best version of Darnell Washington. We should get a more motivated version of Darnell Washington. And ultimately, we hope that that would lead to a more productive version of Darnell Washington as well, man. So, you know, when we just kind of continue to, I guess, have this conversation, so to speak, man, that's, you know, the one part for me that I look at Darnell and I'm asking myself, what is his makeup? To me, I think that he is going to respond.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's going to be, you know, the similar stance that we saw with Kenny. I think that we will get this version of Darnell where he's going to come out here and put his best foot forward, man. I think that Georgia bulldog in him, that's going to help him out a little bit. That's going to show up because he's more than capable. And that is the reality of it. It's not like we look at Darnell and we say he has to overachieve to maintain his role or even solidify and expand his role versus a Michael Pruitt. No, we don't feel like that. We feel like Michael's a good player. Michael has had a lot of success, but at this stage, compared to Darnell Washington, yeah, we do think that Michael is a little bit more limited. He is a smaller player in terms of height. He is thicker in terms of width, though, and weight. But then when you look at Darnell, we call him out Washington because he's more built like Spieth,
He's
like that
gifted.
tall, rangy. You look like a power forward. Yeah, like that's what he's built like. So you see the pros and cons to both of them. You see what we like about both of them, and that's why the team decided to bring him in. But this is one of those ones where I am excited about the move, man. And I think that's going to have some positive dividends to it, man. But before we finish up this topic, man, we're going to take our final break. But I do want to talk a little bit about him and his familiarity with Arthur Smith. So don't touch that dial. It's Arthur Most and Wesley Uhler, and this is Steelers Blitz.
Is the Steelers Blitz with Wesley Euler and Arthur Motes on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR.
Arthur Motes, Wesley Euler, final segment of the first hour of today's show, man, wrapping up the Michael Pruitt conversation. We've talked a little bit about who he is and what he brings to the table. We've talked a little about what he is in terms of competition for a certain individual. And then the last thing that I would like for us to discuss is his familiarity, and not just his, but what Arthur Smith specifically is doing. He represents the third member of Arthur Smith's group to come over here from Atlanta. Cordell Patterson, Van Jefferson, Michael
true.
Pruitt. Why is this important? You're talking about three different skill positions, right? Wide receiver, running back, tight end. All three of those matter. When you're talking about Arthur Smith, when you're talking about his offense, going back to what makes it click, continuity is important. When you're talking about being able to have guys help you communicate and educate the new players, or
No
in
doubt.
this case, the new team. The more of the guys that are familiar with his system, the better. The smoother it should make it in terms of the other guys learning it. Because, Wes, me and you could both agree, man, when you're learning something new and both of us are going through it at the same time and it's new for both of us, there's going to be a natural learning curve and it could take a little bit longer for us to get to the point where we feel comfortable enough to not just know it, but to teach it. And that's the one thing we would say as football players. It's not enough for you to just know your job. You need to know it to the extent that you could teach this defense to somebody. So don't just tell me you have the B gap because it's tight Sammy 33. Why do you have the B gap? You have the B gap because you got this linebacker who's stacked behind you who has to cover this A, and you got that safety who's in the middle of the field who got this backside over here. And if you don't stay in this B, we're stuck right here, man. I need you to know that because that's going to make you be more accountable to staying in your gap. Because if you think that, oh, I'm just in the B gap just because, but I can go to the A gap, it's not that serious. Now we got two bodies in the same gap. This is not acceptable. Now we got a big issue with our defense. So with that, though, you get these guys, Michael Pruitt, Van Jefferson, Cordell Patterson, they're going to be able to teach this when you're talking about that running back room. Right, when you're talking about the wide receiver room, when you're talking about Michael Pruitt communicating with Pat Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, Connor Hayward, Rodney Williams, make sure I include him as well. Shout out to Rodney. All right. But it's like when we're talking about that type of communication, that type of being able to just implement that scheme a little bit easier, I do think that this is one of those added benefits to it as well, man. But what say you
Oh,
about some of the carryover?
no, absolutely. Like Motsi, the way that you said, like, don't tell me you've got the B gap. Show me your work, right? Like, I think that's a
Yeah,
person.
show me your work, man.
don't tell me 5 + 5 = 10. Like, show, do it on the whiteboard. Carry mm-hmm. the one, right? Show me how you got there. Show me you know how to do it. You don't just know the answer. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great analogy. What, like, when you and I get into new things, what do? You reach out to somebody that when you want to get into golf, what do? Yeah. You reach out to your mm-hmm. buddies or your uncles or your work colleagues or whoever that you know are into golf.
Yep.
Hey, what are some good clubs for me to start? Where should I, you know, what do I need to know? All these different. When I bought a smoker 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. ago, right? I mean, what's the first thing that I do? I go to my neighbor Matt's house, who I've seen smoking meats dozens of times, and I'm like, teach me your ways, right? Yeah. Like, when you're trying to learn something new, you lean on somebody who speaks that language, who has experience. And this is, I think we all hope, something very new for the Steelers offense and what Arthur Smith wants to do. And obviously we know new quarterback, new offensive coordinator. I mean, those are some substantial changes. So again, to have, as you laid out, not just Pruitt, to have a few guys now, a trio of guys that kind of speak that language is a huge benefit. Guys that are veterans too, guys that have been in this league for a mm-hmm. long time. They know what it takes. That's a huge benefit, without a doubt. And again, that's maybe something that this offense has been lacking a little bit over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has, though, because who was familiar with Matt Canada's system outside of Kenny Pickett, right? That would have been the only person up until that point that had either played or at least good communicated point. With Matt Canada. Yeah. So, in theory, everybody on offense the past two seasons have been learning a completely new scheme for all of them. Yeah. Communication included, because that's the other part when we're talking about just the schematics. I mean, a fade route, a jump ball, an in, an out, those are all the same, but you might call it Yankee. I might call it 543. And those are the different things that when you're, you know, just talking about the learning curve, that's very much a part of it. Absolutely. Not only do you need to speak my language, I need to know how you run it also. Do you run your out at 5 or do you run it at 6? Mm-hmm. Do you run it at 3.5? Right? These are some of the things we work your release. Absolutely. So that's the communication. Those are, you know, the ways that these guys will be able to help with this. But yes, I do agree that that was missing to an extent these past mm-hmm. two seasons. And then obviously when we transitioned from Matt Canada, we went to Mike Sullivan. I think the thing that made Sullivan's transition a little bit smoother was, you know, with him and Eddie Faulkner, they've done it at the professional level before. And specifically with Mike Sullivan. So with that, even though he is not speaking directly what we speak, he's still speaking NFL. Whereas with Canada, we know that it was more heavily based in the collegiate ranks because that was the majority or exclusively all of his experience, and we were his first NFL opportunity. So in theory, he was learning as well as the team. And at this level, as we know, man, that can work. But at the same time, it cannot work. It's very tough. Yeah. And when you're talking about the time, that's the part that makes it difficult. Because in 3 years, sure. Yeah, we could say it's easy in 3 years. We could say in 5 years. That's realistic. Yeah. Wes, 5 years at a job, man, you should be cooking at 5 years.
I should be.
But in the NFL, you don't have a 5-year window. In the NFL, you have a 2-year window. If we're being real about it. And that's why, you know, we talk about what makes the NFL, one of the things that makes it more challenging is the time, the speed of it, the pressure situations. You don't get this luxury of just sitting and buying time. And that's the one thing that we kind of have that disconnect, right? In terms of just the real, I don't want to say the real world, but just, you know, non-sports related jobs versus this type of profession where, yeah, you got to be perfect day one or pretty much in the first couple of months of your new job. You better show that you can be the best person in the world at your job.
Right.
That's like, let's talk about that. And that's one of the reasons why we're struggling.
No doubt.
You go to your new job. You don't have to be the best at your new job. You don't even have to be the best at your new job. Like in the whole company, you don't have to be the best at the company. In the NFL, we're like, yo, not just come here and be the best at this company. You be the best in the world.
We need you to be otherwise, one of the best in the entire world.
And guess what? If you can't be the best in the world, we're going to look and find somebody else next year that can be the best in the world and that can replace you. That's
you're going to be top 10 at your job in the world, because that's where we need you to be.
Wes, you better be the top 10 radio host In the world.
In the world. In the entire world, or else you're gone after 2 years. See ya.
Well, and you already are ancient because, yeah, we already on year, you know, and six. Especially, it's taking too long. Yeah,
it's taking way too long.
We ain't got time for this. Yeah.
And especially in the NFL, too, Motes, where, like, think about it. If you're on the Pirates, right, and it's your year two, like, and you're struggling, you know what? We're going to send you down to Indianapolis to the minor leagues for a couple weeks. Yeah. Get your head right. Get back to the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. We know you can do this, but we'll slow the game down for you a little bit. We'll bring you back up in a couple weeks. The Penguins, right? Penguins call up some guy who's 24, plays five games. Yeah. Hey, he needs a little more seasoning. That send him back to Wilkes-Barre, right? Yeah. NBA.
They call him P.O. up, man. All
right,
yeah.
NBA, you got the G League, right? Yeah, someone like Oscar Tshiebwe can bounce back and forth between the Pacers and their G League team the entire season and develop. You don't have that in the NFL. Like, Mike Tomlin can't be like, hey, it's all right, it's fine. We're going to send you to Hershey, back to our minor league team for a couple weeks here, all right? Get back to the basics. Get back to the fundamentals. You'll be all right. Just work on your game.
XFL. You're playing in the UFL. That's what happens when it doesn't work out at this level.
That is why those numbers are what they are, right, Motsi? That like 1% of high school players play college football, and then 1% of that 1% plays in the NFL, and then 1% of that 1% of that 1% has a career that lasts longer than 3 years.
Yeah, it's real, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And so, yeah, to bring that all full circle, when you have that type of ecosystem, you need vets, you need youth, you need people who speak the language, you need people who are bringing new ideas. And hopefully the Steelers are getting the right blend of that on offense here for this season.
Yeah, now without a doubt, man, without a doubt. So, like I said, man, I just like, as a whole, the direction that we have turned this ship in, so to speak, in contrast to where we were 2 years ago. I think that we will see a just better version, a more varsity consistently version at this, you know, going forward under the Arthur Smith, Russ Wilson and company regime, man. So, like I said, definitely like that. But we are going to take our final break of this first hour of the show, man. And when we come back, we start turning the page to, you know, discussing numbers. Because everybody loves numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? I love numbers, baby. Love them, love them, love them. It's a whole bunch of them. So don't touch that dial. It's Arthur Motes. That's Wesley Hill, and this is the Steelers Blitz.
May is Military Appreciation Month, celebrating those who are currently serving in the United States military. S&T Bank salutes our military members and wants to thank you for your service. You serve our country, let S&T Bank serve you. With S&T's Armed Forces account featuring no minimum balances or maintenance fees. Plus, free ATMs, checks, and money orders. For more information, stop by a local branch, visit stbank.com, or call 800-325-2265. S&T Bank, member FDIC. I see.